Finding this podcast magical? Why not toss a coin to your Witches and a Druid podcast through the Acast supporter feature? It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to show your support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Three Witches and a Druid podcast, a Canadian podcast about paganism in today's modern society. And now, Three Witches and a Druid podcast presents The Bard Dav.
Do you know that? horse dances on the green. It's just a bit of fun to pass the days. But there is magic in their dance. The season's blessed and not by chance. And I raise my glass. And Arthur sleeps now, ready to return.
Welcome back, everyone, to Three Witches and a Druid, where we sit around, occasionally with alcohol, and talk about whatever moves us. And this time, as we are still sort of in the, well, it's not necessarily related to the darkness, but often used in dark times, we're going to talk about divination and our personal experiences, because I don't know what about anyone else, but I certainly speak for myself. I am not an expert, though I may play one on TV on occasion. I am Margot.
And I am Maeve.
Gwen.
And I'm Brian. And the cards tell me that we're still drinking New Scotland Brewing Co. Small Batch Series. Rose hips don't lie. I'm really pushing that. Maybe they'll give us a free cake.
As it is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to tag them in this.
And you know that would be awesome.
And you know what?
To make more mead.
I am not a mead person, and that I don't mind at all.
I
don't
have had their
mind.
That is a stellar. Stellar review. Don't mind.
Yes.
You don't understand. I really don't like mead. The reason why I like this mead is I don't like mead because it's perfumey, but the perfumey is rose. Yeah. And I like rose flavored
things. Yeah, that's fair. I'm a big mead fan, so
me too.
I have a lot of bottles in our little
liquor area. Yes, I bought some more at the Christmas at the Forum. I bought mead. One of the main reasons I'm looking forward to going to New Brunswick over Christmas is to buy mead. And PEI as well, to buy mead.
Well, it's become not even like the hip-in thing. It's become a bit more normalized.
Yeah.
Over the last
pagans
years.
Drank mead. Well, I remember.
We've all drank mead.
We all drank mead for ages. Not me so much because I don't really care. I've had a couple that are okay, but it's not my thing.
Yeah.
Everybody has their thing.
So divination. It's not something I have done a whole lot of, but we do use divination in Druid ritual, at every ritual. But you guys have a lot more experience in divination than I do.
But I'd like to come right around to this right now, if that's okay, because you mentioned you use it in ritual. How do you use it in ritual?
So in Druid ritual, in ADF Druid ritual anyway, not I don't speak on behalf of all Druids, but in our ADF ritual, when we perform a ritual, we ask the gods how they feel about what we've done. So at that point, we draw an omen.
At the end.
No, well, it's endish, midway
ish.
Sort of thing.
Yeah.
And we draw an omen. And from that omen, we divine what the gods have felt. And then after that, we draw another one asking what their blessing is. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, sometimes it's blank. We don't know.
So say you do a ritual and you get what you interpret as negative feedback. Do you shift something in the continuation of the ritual before you finish it? Like,
In the past we've continued on with the ritual and we'll draw it again at a later point in the ritual. In our grove, we have a member. That's their designated role, is to be that prophet to pull the Om into their interpretation of its meaning. The Om, of course, is the alphabet of trees, used in Celtic and Druid mythology. Often similar to runes, though, was actually a language found on stones and used as tags. Bob was here.
Yeah.
Fred was drunk at this spot. But we use it as a form of divination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you feel about what we've done? Well, I think you're drunk.
Yeah. And that is a very high possibility. So, and then with...
chances are.
At that point in the ritual, the two pieces of Om that have been drawn are placed against the chalice and everybody gets to drink the blessing. With COVID, it's a little different. We pour it into individual cups, but it's the same concept. But yes, sometimes the Om gives us a negative review, and we have to live with that. We just try to accept that. We grow. We use it to grow into the next ritual and become trying to do better, I guess. There's not really a whole lot of negativity in the Om. There's a couple of not so great ones. Unlike the tarot, which I don't know a lot about tarot. I know a lot of negativity in tarot. But I think that might be just pop culture stuff.
Yes, that's very much about that.
Unless you get the tower card.
Yes. Just don't even talk. You know that's my least favorite card in the old deck. I don't fear the devil. I don't fear the death card. The tower.
So explain the tower. As someone who doesn't know, I own a couple of tarot decks, but it's mostly just for aesthetic.
Well, the art
is
beautiful.
Yeah,
So many beautiful decks.
Explain why the tower is... Because to me, that it doesn't make any sense. Why is the devil not more terrifying?
Do you want to take that?
Well, I would say, for me, the tower can be tough because it signifies a sudden change that you have no control over. So if you think that there is some place in your life where your specific you had a question about a specific thing and the tower comes up, if you can get out ahead of something, that's great. But it often shows that you are going to get a shakeup. The tower card in the Waite Smith deck where has a tower, very often it's got a bolt of lightning. So something from outside of your control, you have no control over it, is going to hit that tower. That tower
crashing down,
people falling out of the windows.
Oh, wow.
It can signify like a real blow to your ego. It can, you know, and that's what hurts people. Like, you can lose stuff, but when you get that shock where your sense of self is just struck by something outside of your control. And very often people are like, oh, well, it's good because you get to start over again. And maybe.
Okay, so
Pollyanna, maybe.
This is a question not out of ignorance, but, well, out of ignorance in the sense that I don't know.
Yeah.
This obviously came before, like this card, this existed before 9/11.
Yes.
Yeah, so, you know, I know what it looks like. It's, okay. That's pretty terrifying, actually.
I have the Galaxy app on my phone with all the explanations and everything. Anybody who's trying to learn the tarot?
The Galaxy.
It's called, let me see here. It is called Galaxy Tarot, and it's just an app. It's free. It'll break down even parts of the picture. Anyway,
colors, numbers, wonderful. Because those are all things. Yeah, we could do another on how to teach yourself tarot and give people hints. But
the tower.
That one is a struggle because it means that change is coming. That is abrupt. Abrupt, significant. It's out of your control. I have a quick tower story. So a woman had been coming to me, and people, you know, very often divination is about money, relationships, physical health, pretty much in that order. Nah, relationships, money, physical health. But, you know, those are your top three. And again, this consistent, I got to leave this guy. What's up for our relationship? And I've been having, you know, regular, and I won't see people multiple times. If you don't make a change, I'm not reading your cards again. maybe once every 4 months, but I don't want to take your money if you just want a different reading every week. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're shopping for
the answer, the future
of
for.
My choice. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she would come once every 4 to 6 months and ask. And over the time of her knowing she had to disassociate with her partner, she had a child, which makes that more difficult. And she came, and we have similar, the readings are consistent. You got to get hold of this. You got to get out in front. You're going to have to make the break. He's not going to. He's too comfortable. So she had one more, and the tower came up in a significant spot. And I said, I don't know what it is, but it's going to be bad. You better break off this relationship before it gets bad. And something is going to happen in the next 3 weeks to a month, which is going to take it out of your hands, but the relationship is over. She's like, yeah, yeah. Well, maybe it's easier. I said, no, this is not easier. No, this is the tower.
Yeah.
This is not good. I got a phone call from her. Guess where I was today? And I said, where were you? The police station. So a neighbor, while she was at work, her partner had been exposing himself sexually to her daughter. And a neighbor phoned it in because could see it through the window. And the police were there, and the daughter was taken away and was in social services. And the relationship was over. Like, I mean, it took all the ambivalence, all of the, I know I should, out of the equation, because there's no way that was going to continue. But that's the tower. That's the crumbling your sense of self right down to zero.
Yeah.
I mean, she was better off. She was better off afterwards. She of those things, but
it would have been better if she'd have been gone long before then. Yeah,
to have that happen.
And if somebody asked me, "What's the tower?" I think that's a quintessential tower story.
It is. Yeah, and the tower, I think too, it can depend. You know, depending on what's around the tower, is it pentacles? Is this about money? Is this, you know, is this swords? Is it, you know, cups? Is it, you know, depending
on
whatever.
Is it relationship? Is it this? Is it that?
Yeah, the tower. No, I dread that card more than anything. I truly do. The death card just means something new. Something's going to end, but something else is going to come along. New beginning. I don't mind that. And the devil is, most of it's your own doing. You can change it any time.
Yeah. Yeah. The death card, actually. Well, I have the Halloween deck.
So do I. I have the Halloween deck too. Devil with a blue dress on. That's what it is. It's the devil in a blue dress.
But the death card in it, the skeleton is actually, I think it's holding a watering can, maybe?
Or something.
And I took a tarot class when I was at Little Mysteries. And we were to choose a card and then stand up and physically take the posture.
Embody that card.
In that card. So I stood up, looked at the card, got myself into the position of the skeleton and went, I'm shoveling shit. That's what this card is about. I'm shoveling the shit out of my life. I'm like, now I understand the death card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To 100% get it now.
So it's never quite literal.
No. Almost never.
Almost never. Like death of a bad habit.
Death
of a bad situation.
You know, maybe you're getting a new job, you're leaving.
But very often, the death card is something's come to a natural ending.
Yeah.
It's a natural, so you can be wistful or regretful of its ending, but not
it's
regretful, wistful or nostalgic about it, but it's run its course and you're ready for something new. The tower is a different ending.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I get it.
The tower is a traumatic ending.
Speaking of the tower, and I found this out after I realized I hated the tower card, is you can have through your numerology, you can have a tarot card designated to your numerology number.
Mm-hmm.
Shadow card of my card, which is the chariot, is the tower. It's the shadow side of the tower. Because the chariot's about taking control.
So we're starting on divination, but we kind of got into tarot, and I think we could do tarot a lot. I mean,
tarot is a gateway drug of divination.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
Easy to get.
Yeah.
And you know, easy to get. Yeah. Here, everybody
Everybody does it. Everybody does it. Here, have one. Go to chapel. Everybody does
it. And you can't stop at one death.
No, I just gave away a bunch because I had a problem because I would see the beautiful art. I had like 20, and I didn't really read that often.
In the last 2 weeks, I've had 2 decks. So a friend gave me a deck, and then I got one in the mail because Amazon, and I hate myself for it. Want to let you know I do hate myself for it because I hate to get.
Did you get the villain's deck, the Nightmare Before Christmas deck, or the Illuminated Rider-Waite?
Oh well, the Illuminated Rider-Waite. No, I got. Oh, it's in the other
which
room.
Is really got, the holographic Illuminated Rider-Waite.
I know the one. I have it on gold. The Neighborhood Witch. what I have is True Heart, which is Rachel True, who was in the original Craft movie. And she has designed her own deck.
What's her name?
Rachel True. Rachel True is an actress, many different things, but she's a lifelong tarot practitioner. And she's created, based on, inspired by the Smith version. She has made a racially inclusive deck.
Oh, very nice.
Which is nice. Lovely. And it's called the Intuitive Tarot, and it has a little more open for that. But I see here on the guidebook and deck, it just came in today, actually, and I see on the main cover a young girl staring at a narcissus with the quintessential pack of mm-hmm. Fool over her shoulder, okay. Right? So I'm really excited to get into it, and it's been out for a few years, but I can't think of, I'm always last to the party, right?
Oh, there we have a picture of her.
Yeah.
Yes.
Her. Yeah.
From the Craft.
Oh, yeah, so she's one of the mean girls.
Yeah.
But that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I can't think of her character's name, and I'm terrified. Right.
Rochelle.
I can't think of her. I couldn't think of her character's name.
Thank you.
Well, and I didn't, like...
I never
a
really
true hippie. I didn't have a television at the time that was a big freaking deal. I was I was out, trapping ermine or something. sorry to all our vegan listeners.
Tarot is like the dice of paganism. You can't just have one. You need multiple sets.
Yeah.
And it is, I am a strong believer, it is definitely the gateway. A lot of forms of divination. Anyone I know that is new to paganism tends to go a tarot route.
Yeah,
that's true. I've been a pagan almost 20 years now. I know what these things are, but I don't use them. Like I use Om.
Yeah.
But I know what runes are. I know what tarot is. That doesn't mean I use them.
Right.
But tarot's also very romanticized in the media as well.
Of course, yeah.
And there are so many magnificently illustrated decks.
Yes. Yeah. Well, as a photographer, as a graphic designer, I consider for a really long time about making the tarot deck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Anyone can do it.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I know anything about it.
Yeah. A partnership with somebody who knows the tarot, and you can plot out good... appropriate shots, and then you take your artistic
right mm-hmm. But so one thing that's kind of interesting is we don't quite treat our Om as an entity in itself, but I know a lot of people treat tarot decks as an entity. They treat it with respect. No one else mm-hmm. is allowed to touch it. It's in a special box or a special case or a special bag. Do you guys believe that way, or?
I would never touch another person's tarot deck without asking.
No, that's for sure.
That's true. Okay. But in the next breath, because I do readings, I shuffle and cleanse in between clients, and I'll mm-hmm. do those fairs, which are like, you hit a buzzer and the next person comes, and you hit a buzzer and the next person comes, and I'll do a mental cleansing, and I'll shuffle them through and mm-hmm. But my personal way of reading involves them shuffling the deck.
Yes.
And whether that's my conceit or not, I tend to think that I'm reading their energy. Mm-hmm. I try and key into what's important to them, and that I ask them to think about their question while they shuffle the deck. And
On the odd time that I do it, I will let the person shuffle it and all that. And you can cleanse it in between.
It's really interesting. So if you declare to me that you are a tarot reader, I'm a tarot reader, or I never read tarot, but I use this divination method, I will very often in a reading ask you to pick your own cards. If you are a muggle, you know, I'm trying to think of a non-offensive word, but a muggle. If you're a muggle, I'll choose the cards. I'll say, I'm going to choose 9 cards. If they say, I want to choose my cards, I'll allow that. But usually they're comfortable with that. But I always find I get a better reading. And if somebody says, well, I'd like you to, and I'm like, okay, you choose 9, I'll choose 9. And very often the readings line up very well together. Mm-hmm. But that's sort of my process.
Right. Some people have no one's allowed to touch them.
Yeah, they do.
Special.
No,
and that's okay too. I think it's just what you personally makes you comfortable.
Yeah.
To do.
I treat my OM like with respect, but I treat it like a phone book. It's a form of communication between deities and us. So it's a telephone.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that is, as someone who kind of tried to learn tarot for over 20 years and just sort of got it, but not really, because I was so into every detail.
Mm-hmm.
And what does I just sort of very a bit quite left brained and had to know what every single symbol meant. And I was overthinking it for years and years and years and years. When finally, when you were saying about the phone book and Daniel at the Aegeus Festival one summer, that we were doing a little tarot workshop, and I don't know why this never occurred to me in 20 years. You don't read the cards, you let the cards tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody had ever said that to me,
right?
Nobody. And then once that happened, it was like, oh, well, instead of imposing my own intellect and will to read what I saw before me, it was like, oh, well, I'm just going to relax and open up and just talk about what I think I see. And that's what changed for me.
Hmm.
And that changed it for me. Because before then, I always had like scrying. I was never really good at scrying. This or that. My divination of choice is automatic hand.
Right.
With the right and left hand.
Right and left hand.
Yes, and I learned that.
Or dominant and non-dominant.
Dominant and non-dominant. If for anyone who's like, people know what automatic writing is, but I find for myself, and we were taught this in a class we took many, many, many moons ago, get yourself into a meditative state, in a trancey type state, and I use 2 pens, different mm-hmm. colors, and I have special pens that I just only use for that, and you ask your questions, you do your talking with your hand you normally would write with. And then you receive your messages and you write with your other hand. Now it's messy.
Mind you, my dominant hand's pretty messy.
That's why you need 2 colors.
Yes.
That's why you need 2 colors.
I have been told I have a handwriting
and receive.
Color.
And normally when I do that, I don't just put it out there for whoever's coming through. I wish to speak to my spirit guide or a member of my spirit family. I don't just let any Tom, Dick, or Harry come through.
Yeah.
Because that's like opening
that's
up the
a can
Ouija
of worms
board. That's a whole
one.
Can of worms. But I found that over the years has worked extremely well for me. Someone who, when I finally relaxed and just let it come to me, as opposed to I was so anal about the cards, I thought I had to know every single detail, which I didn't.
No.
But that's what I do. But that is a very, very interesting. And I know people say, oh, it could be making it up subconscious. But you know what? A lot of the time, I do not know what was said if I'm in the groove until I read it afterwards.
I was going to say my experience with that, and I've used it multiple times, but not as often as you, because the truth hurts. And so I like to avoid it whenever I can. So my experience is very often that in process, I ask my question with my dominant hand, and then I put the pen, I use my pen in my non-dominant hand. While I'm writing what comes through to me, I'm like, well, this is not like there's this observing self that's also,
yes,
what's the big deal about this? How smart is this? You know, like blah, blah, blah. Maybe this is me telling myself what to say, you know, and maybe it is your higher self, whatever, your subconscious self. And I'm denigrating the process all the time. But like you, you flip the lights on because you're in this candle lit meditative, mm-hmm, state. You, mm-hmm, come to, wake up, flip the lights on, read it and go, okay, I know that I was thinking this, and I know I have a memory of thinking this, and I have a memory of writing it out because it went into my brain and down to my hand, and I second-guessed it the whole time I was doing it. And yet when you're out of that meditative state, you're like, holy crap,
yes,
that has value.
It does. And another thing that I will do with it, even if you get some message that you're not fussy for,
yes,
don't throw it out. Revisit it in 2 weeks or a month or 2 or 3 months down the road. Because anytime I've, you know, been telling anyone that if you do a meditation or a journey work, always write it down immediately because you won't remember. Because even in that moment afterwards, when you come out of your state and you're reading it and you're in the, you know, you're in this plane, it still might not click in your head. So revisit it a week later. And, or even, you know, something's like, wait a minute, didn't I have something 6 months ago? And I'll go back and go through and go, aha.
That's a fabulous idea.
It is,
it's
definitely keep it. It definitely keep it. I have a binder specifically. And the other thing is I have had, now mind you, I've had people come through who were not part of my spirit family, but they've been for someone who I'm close to.
Okay.
It's like, I need to talk to them. Please give them a message or this or that. I've had my mother-in-law, my deceased mother-in-law, come through because she's trying to get a hold of her son. And you know, that's happened more than once. And finally I said to my daughter, I said, when you see your father, you tell him blah, 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 and whatever, and open yourself up. His mother wants to talk to him.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
And the last time I did that, she actually got through to him.
Yeah.
He told me about it later. It was like, wow. Okay, but that'll sometimes happen. I've actually had like a grandparent come through, you know, someone who's passed on. But most of the time I keep it to my, you know, even though it's not part of my spirit family, I think. But then a little bit, and this is for good or for ill. When I was in the beginning of my divorce, and I was very, you know, very upset, and at night you're lying in bed and you're sad and you're upset and you're processing for a good 2 years, because I'm not somebody, or maybe I'm not somebody who believes they can, who can just, some people can just sit and their, you know, their spirit guide or one of their spirit family, because I got a whole crowd taking care of me, they can tell that they're sitting next to them and talk to them, where I could not. I couldn't. And I would just get it out, and I would like to talk to them just for comfort and company. Not that I was using them, but I mean, that's what they're there. They're there,
yeah,
to help you with your life. And it's like, I'd be like, spirit guide, are you there? May I talk to you? Start out with that, you know, may I speak to you? Is this a good time? And they, you know, come through, yes, you know, hi, you know, hello, dear, and all that. So just, I'm just sad and lonely tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just looking for some company. Is that okay with you? Always respectfully. And she'd be like, sure, you know, whoever will come through. And when I was really sad and lonely and struggling back however many years ago,
I did do that. For good or for ill, people might say, oh, you're using them. It's like, no, we're friends.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I'm gonna say, you know.
Yeah, you're just using them. I'm like, well, they're there to help me.
Yeah.
And sometimes I would get a little bit of good advice.
Or I would get encouragement. What they're there for.
That's right. It's like, honestly, or, you know, it's my method of madness. Mm-hmm. There's other ways, like scrying never worked for me. Runes, I just didn't get into. Not that I don't like them at all.
I have a beautiful set of them that are on these pieces of crystal that were carved on. Anyway, and I had another really beautiful set carved on wood by someone, and they were beautiful gifts, but I never really got into them. And
right.
Tarot I can, you know, and I finally found my bit of a groove there. I wouldn't charge anybody money for them because I'm not good like that, not like you are. But no, but don't discount things. And really, because the only real experience of looking at automatic writing I'd ever really heard of, I knew what it was in that movie, The Changeling, back in the 80s, and they're writing a ghost is, you know, whatever possessed. I'm like, what the heck?
That sounds rather similar to, say, a Ouija board.
Now, a Ouija board. I have a friend who does Ouija board. And she has, you know, someone, you know, watching the gate on the other side for her grandmother's there. You cast the circle. A Ouija board, even though it's in the children's section, is not a toy.
There's evil laughs from it.
Every kid tries the Ouija board. And I remember saying to my kid, if a Ouija board pops out when you're at a sleepover, I said, you do not do it. That's a dangerous thing for little kids to be playing.
You may have a drink if the wine bottle gets uncorked out of the parents' liquor cabinet, but if the Ouija board comes out, you call me and I'm coming to get you.
Sneak the liquor out of the cabinet when you're 13. Do not use the Ouija board.
Well, no. It's funny you say that because I designed and cut a Ouija board.
Oh, well, that's hopefully people who know what they're doing.
Well, Karen is like, that does not come in this house. That is to stay out in the shed. It does not pass over our doorstep. But it hasn't. I've got some big plans for it.
But if you have people who can cast a circle and, you know, cleanse the place and, you know, have spirit family on the other side, you know, helping to guard who may be coming through, a Ouija board is a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
But it is not.
Well, and it's funny because Ouija boards, I wouldn't necessarily say they evolved, but they're not necessarily the Hasbro cookie cutter box that
they're still out there though. Well, they are. See them.
And I almost bought one this weekend, and I regret not getting it when I saw it. There are a ton of incredibly beautiful designed Ouija boards.
In the same way that tarot inspires artistic creation.
Yeah.
That I think that's, again, a connection with Alwyn, right? Whenever you're interfacing with spirit.
Yeah. So there are, the Ouija board has definitely evolved from its original incantation.
Mm-hmm.
Have any of you experience with, say, pendulums?
I was going to ask that. We do have a funny pendulum story. Remember you at Queen Street and your partner? We took this learning different forms of divination. Mm-hmm. We had to. We have a friend in common, and so her mother was quite ill, and we're cautiously all playing around trying to learn our pendulum. And
we had to read for each other.
Okay.
So I'm sitting there with the pendulum, and this woman says, is my mother going to die, or how long is my mother going to live? And I was just holding the pendulum going, don't make me answer that! Don't make me answer that! Don't make me answer that!
Her mother was terminally ill.
Yes. It was not a good situation, but
it didn't start out with, am I going to meet...
Yeah, what's my favorite color?
Like what you said there is you have to understand that a lot of the times what's controlling the other end of this isn't necessarily on the same plane of thought we are.
Yeah.
They're going to take that, like, is my mother going to die? The other side is saying, of course she's going to die. Yes.
Like, yes.
Why are you asking that? Yes. Everybody dies.
Dumb question.
Yes. Yeah. Dumb question. Next.
Yeah. No, it was just
you
like,
have to
don't
be,
make me answer this. Don't make me answer this.
You have to be
so.
Really specific about what you're
yes.
asking.
Yeah.
I treat anything like that like a genie.
Mm.
Like anything you ask or what you're wish for, that genie is going to find every way.
No fairies.
Yeah, no fairies. They're going to find every way to twist what you're saying and make it work in their favor.
Yeah.
To me, it's the same. If any form of divination, you have to put some thought into what your question is going to be.
And I also, again, working at Little Mysteries as long as I did, and we always had readers there and we're booking appointments and had a lot of regulars, but also a lot of people who had zero experience walking in off the street, and just letting them know nothing is written in stone.
Nope.
This is all information for you to either you hear something that sounds great. Well, now you can work towards that to fruition. You hear something that doesn't sound great. Well, maybe you can take some steps in your life to avoid that outcome, or ignore it altogether. It's completely up to you what you decide to do with this information.
Pendulums never work for me. They lie straight out. It's like, you know, is my name?
Oh,
they go, no. And then I'd say, you know, am I a female? Maybe. They no. Me and pendulums, no.
So
every
time I pull one out, I do, is my name? Because every time they say you want to reinitiate that. So, and you learn, is my name Gwen? And almost consistently, a yes is a clockwise
mm-hmm.
and a no is a counterclockwise. But sometimes it varies and you want to reinitiate that. I find if I read for a stranger, I get good results. If I read for myself or somebody I'm invested in the answer, we have a friend in common who had a time when she was very lonely in her life. Between relationships. And every time I pulled out the pendulum, I saw true love in her near horizon because I wanted that for her.
Right.
And so that pendulum went clockwise every time because,
well, you know, maybe that's,
you know,
it. Because,
I manifest that,
you know,
for
it,
her.
It just, even things, other people, whatever, it's like, no, pendulums just didn't do it.
If I don't care about the answer, I am more likely to get an accurate response.
Well, isn't that interesting? I never thought about it that way. Maybe that's it.
Experiment with
yeah,
that.
Maybe.
Experiment.
I don't have
with
one
that.
Anymore. I gave them all. I had one or two. And
I want it to work desperately because I think tarot is really good for... Astrology is good for some things. Tarot is good for some things. Pendulums are good for different things.
Mm.
Everything has a spot where
mm-hmm.
it will work or give you an answer that has more value if you can incorporate
mm-hmm.
it. But, and sometimes it's just like that basic yes, no, or where over a map or anything
mm-hmm.
would be great, but doesn't always
neat?
Work for me.
Isn't that neat? It's interesting you say that because I have never, the automatic writing, I use that strictly for me. That is how I communicate oftentimes with my spirit family. Like my spirit
for personal
guide,
information.
For personal information. Now, I've had, like, as I said, I've had people come through with a message for someone, but I have never done it for someone
You
else.
Never initiate that.
I have
yeah.
never, you know, if Brian came over and said, I need this, I wanted a reading or whatever.
You
said,
would
okay,
never
I'll
choose
do
automatic
that.
Writing for
I,
that.
I might, but I've never done it.
Mm.
I've never, you know, never done it. But it's, and I know this sounds, I think maybe it's, one of the easiest forms
mm-hmm.
to do is something is an easier form than tarot. And if you're looking for answers and you have a harder time like me, you just can't, you know, oh, look, my spirit guide's sitting next to me and see that because I have something that is preventing, just I can't seem to get there. So it's a way to use that is quite easily accessible. You know, some people scry or look in flames or look in water. I can't do that.
So I was going to get, that's the next point I was going to mention, because we live in Nova Scotia. There's nothing more than an Acadian woman, good Acadian Christian woman loves, and tea leaf reading.
Tea readings. Yes. Oh, everybody's got an aunt, great aunt, or a granny, or someone who's reading the tea leaves.
You have not traveled through a small Cape Breton town without finding a coffee shop that has tea readings.
Yeah, or New Brunswick, or PEI, they're all over the place, yeah.
I mean, they do tea leaf readings at the World Tea House down there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that makes sense.
Yeah. Any of you have experience with tea leaf readings?
I've had them. I've never done them. I wouldn't know how. I wouldn't know the meaning or how to look.
Or is it one of those things, because sometimes, you know, you see the book that says, oh, this means this and this means this.
I think there
or is it
is
just, or
an,
you just
a language
you know,
that you need to understand.
Or do you just look at
something?
It and whatever comes to your own head?
Do you know when you look at a Facebook meme and it's this bunch of words and it says the first three words that you see are going to be your
mm-hmm.
summer or something
mm-hmm.
and so then you see three random words and hopefully they're love, money and success or something. That's what I wish for you, but they may be poop. Who knows? You know, like my eye fixes on the weirdest things and it may come in a Playboy magazine. You never know. But I think the same thing is with tea leaf readings. In the same way you can have an left brain relationship, you know, to use that term, a left brain relationship with your tarot cards and break it down by this and that. I think you can do the same thing with tea leaf readings. And you can say, this quadrant is past, this is future, or these are numbers, or you know, you can do all those things. But if you do the reading and you look in, the first three things you see are the grim, or what, you know, because, you know, apparently, for my children, I am Professor Trelawney. So,
she's awesome.
She's awesome. Anyway, you... for the average person just starting out, go for that. You want to get a book, you want to read up on it. There's a long history, there's a language, but pretend it's that Facebook meme. Look in it.
And what do you see? Now, is that a little too Rorschach?
Rorschach,
yeah.
Is that a little too Rorschach?
And we're back to the Playboy magazine.
Oh, no.
Okay. Sorry.
Oh, you know what?
I actually had to do those.
Playboy has covered up their models. It's not nearly as fun. But you know what?
This is what one can and a half of me does.
Well, you know
Ryan's like, oh my gosh.
The thing too is another thing, get a book and whatever. Palmistry.
Mm-hmm.
Because a line is a line is a line.
Yes.
You know what I mean? For palmistry. So my line of infamy is long.
Also, think about, often people think about how they learn. Are they auditory? Are they visual?
Mm-hmm.
You know, those sorts of things. Think about how you process information. Some people are more intuitive. Some people like the rules and the structure.
Mm-hmm.
So choose a form of divination that suits your personality. And palmistry would be a good one for somebody who wants structure and rules. Because a line is a line is a line. You get the book, you learn your meanings
mm-hmm.
and structure.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's the story, the interpreting,
mm-hmm.
but the structure's there. And
yes.
you can build on that. Tarot's sort of that 50-50, right? You've got both going on for you. And then you have things like scrying where... Is it easy for you to drop down into that meditative state and see those images?
Right.
Do things come to you?
No, it's not easy for me. The one thing I was thinking when we first started this was the question of psychedelics involved in your psychic practice.
Oh, I think that's a whole episode of its own.
And a whole psychedelic. I have always said that if I was in the correct place with the correct people in the correct country, I would try that peyote thing that they have with the psychedelics. Again, under the correct circumstances, like some people find that they've got that block, but they have a little bit of pot or a few mushrooms. Everything opens up. The brain, part of the brain, is it real? Isn't it real? That might be another topic.
I'm with Brian. This
day.
Is another episode. I need to talk to my lawyer first.
as someone who was not
that could really, be
I've not been a drug user. Like, I've never really been into it, but.
Says the woman who asked me to keep my morphine.
Yeah, well, that was just...
Opiates are different. They have their own little stream, right?
Yes. That's a whole different thing. It's like, really, it's like when my mom's, you know, it's like when your back hurts so bad you could cry and your mom's just had, you know, knee replacement surgery. Oh, I didn't use the Dilaudid they gave me. I gave it back to the pharmacist. I said, you did what?
We ran into that issue at one point. Karen, one of us had... Dilaudid, and we're like, what do we do with this? And someone said, you sell it. And we're like, no, we're not gonna do that. Like, you'd be rich.
No, oh no, I had a violent ear infection once, and they gave me Percocet. It's like, I'm so glad they only gave me a few pills, because I'd take that every day. For someone who's been, you know, when you have pain a lot of the time, to feel warm and painless, it's like, I see how people get it.
Dave at the hospital, the pharmacy phoned up when one of the times we were in, phoned up all of his prescriptions because he had been admitted, and there was a transcription error, and they moved it by a decimal. Oh, so he got 10 times the amount he usually did, and he woke up and he's like, I am pain free for the first time. Maybe I need to stay, you know, like maybe we need to stay in here until they figure out, but whatever they did, I'm pain free. Well, you find out a day and a half later, he's been getting 10 times his normal amount of payments. I'm like, okay. They're like, well, maybe we could double your prescription. Maybe you should then. You
know? It's like, really? I know. It's like, I gave the Dilaudid back to the pharmacist. What?
That could be an episode where we put on like the top tier of the Patreon. If you want to listen to us talking about drugs, you got to pay $10 a month. But like, so in druidry, we have the Ohm. A lot of druids are attracted to like fire scene. That's a big one.
Mm-hmm. Do you have that somebody take apart the sometime when they had a chicken, maybe save the bones, you know, when you cast the bones?
There's that cartoon about druidry where they dissect the pigeon and they...
Well, I mean, if you've eaten the chicken, you can take parts of the bone, you know, keep it. I mean, you've eaten the chicken and whatnot.
Yeah, I've never done that.
Nobody's been divining with entrails.
No
entrails.
No, I just throw the chicken out after I eat it. Yeah, no, I'm not into anything that involves animal sacrifice or...
No, of course not. But
I'll sacrifice the chicken to my mouth.
Take the bones out, save them, dry them, write on them, whatever you want to do to have that. I mean, that's not an inhuman thing.
I guess that's kind of maybe where...
I have a collection of wishbones over the years that I've got dried out, saving for the perfect...
I have wishbones in the cupboard, too!
I could outfit a pagan baseball team. For sure.
You just got to wait for the grandkids to get older.
Yeah, that's it. The
wishbone
magic. Offs. Yeah. We always used the wishbone.
Oh my!
My grandmother always, and my mother always saved the wishbones, and when they were dry, we used them.
Yeah. It's funny because Karen's family never did it. So, first time I said, "Yeah, let's break the wishbone," she's like, "What? What are you talking about?"
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a little weird.
And it's with your pinky, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, we know we did it. You had to use the very, very tips of your finger.
We did pinky and pinky.
Yeah. Yeah. And whoever got the whatever. Isn't that interesting? Silly things. But I do, they're in the cupboard.
Me too.
Cupboard got left open once Kat got in there.
But yeah, there's a lot of different ways of divination.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, as you explore that, you'll find whatever speaks to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, staring at a fire for me is mesmerizing, watching those coals, watching that happen. That can get me to a meditative state.
Yes,
so possibly I can have messages of value that come out of that, but that's secondary to that experience of sitting at the fire.
A fire scrying has a lot to do with like any of the deities that involve fire, be it Bridget as blacksmith, Vulcan, Hesemite. That's very involved there.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't think I've ever met a person who didn't love staring at a fire.
Mm-hmm.
No. Like, no matter how against any kind of divination you might be, because there's something very mesmerizing about staring.
at a fire. Even I have a propane fireplace in my house, there's still something, even though the wood's not cracking. There's still something.
There's still something burning.
In it. Yeah, there's mm-hmm. still the flame is still there. Flame is still there.
Yeah.
Well, thank you everyone for tuning in. And it's been a really fun evening.
Been there for a roller coaster this one.
And the mead helped us talk very freely about divination. So if you'd had any questions or comments, you can certainly contact us on our Three Witches and a Druid Facebook page. And give us some thumbs up. And thank you to our Patreon people. I believe a thank you's coming up.
Three Witches and a Druid podcast would like to take a moment to thank our amazing Patreon supporters. Today, we shout out to Danny, Tania, Sarah, Lore, Kay, Linda, and Jennifer. Without your generous support and contributions, we couldn't bring you this magical content, and we thank you for listening.
So until next time, everyone, merry meet.
Merry part.
And merry meet again.
Blessed be.
This has been Three Witches and a Druid podcast. Thanks for listening.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinez.
I'm Kayla Itzinez, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.